There is probably no section of scripture or story more familiar to us than the Christmas story. For each year that we count of our age, we have heard that story retold again and again and again. Actually, it encompasses only a relatively small part of the magnitude of scripture. And we know it very well. We know all the details. In fact, probably for many of us, when we hear it read, we know the words by heart. Even though there is a simplicity of it, though, it seems that we can never fully comprehend it. There is a depth and a magnitude which can just never quite fully be delved. I think perhaps one of the simplest summaries of the Christmas message comes from the familiar words of a nursery rhyme that, again, I think probably all of us know by heart. But it tells the Christmas story. It starts out by saying that Mary had a little lamb. And of course, that's what the Christmas story is about. It's the story of the Lamb of God. You know, lambs in those days long ago, under that Old Testament system of religion, had one particular purpose for which they were reared, and especially those lambs that were raised and pastured round about Bethlehem. And that was the purpose of slaughter. The number of sheep that were slaughtered each year at the temple in Jerusalem added up into the tens of thousands. And many of those, in fact most of them, grazed before going to Jerusalem around the hillsides of Bethlehem. When we speak of that child that was born in Bethlehem 20 centuries back as the Lamb of God, he indeed was that. God's in origin, because it was God who saw to it that within the virgin womb of Mary was conceived miraculously in a way that we really can't understand. A child that was to become the Messiah, the Savior of the world. That lamb was not only God's in origin, but also God's for sacrifice. When Jesus was born, he was born to die. We hardly think of that with our children, with normal births. In most cases, death is the farthest thing from our minds or imagination. But such was not the case on that first Christmas. Death was very much in the mind of God for his lamb. God's not only in origin. God's not only for sacrifice, but God's also for salvation. Do you remember that little phrase in the Christmas story that says that he is sent to save his people from their sins? After all, isn't that what the Christmas message is all about? That the Lamb of God was sent for that very purpose, to save his people from their sins? It was 30 years after the shepherds gathered at the cave in Bethlehem that Jesus inaugurated his public ministry. For those 30 years, really, little is said, little is known within the Bible. In fact, he had a cousin named John who was far better known than Jesus was. In fact, all of Palestine knew about John, that voice crying in the wilderness, the one who lived such a stark and simple life, the one who was at odds with the political powers, who was recognized by all of the religious people as a prophet. Yes, it was John that was well known. But when he saw Jesus, it was John who, acknowledging that he had to decrease in popularity as Jesus increased in popularity, it was John who, setting his eyes upon the now mature Jesus Christ, said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Charles Spurgeon was a preacher of the last century and the beginning of this century. Sometimes he used to do what some preachers do and have to watch out doing it, and that is going to the meeting house at some off hour to practice a sermon. You have to be careful because there might be someone hiding behind some pillar or in some nook or cranny that may be listening. And Spurgeon used to do that. And one day, unbeknownst to him, as he was standing in the pulpit of Metropolitan Tabernacle in London, a huge auditorium seating thousands, there was a painter up in the third balcony, totally out of sight from Spurgeon's pulpit. In fact, it wasn't until some time later that Pastor Spurgeon learned that that man had been eavesdropping. Spurgeon that day, thinking himself alone, stood in the pulpit and he practiced that verse from John 1:29. He said it lots of different ways. He said, "Behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world." And he'd restate it, "Behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. Behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world." He said it over and over. He whispered it and he shouted it. And all that time, there was an unacknowledged listener whose heart was being touched by the Holy Spirit of God. And that weekday at that off hour, when a service wasn't being held, listening only to the repetition of that great declaration of John the Baptist concerning Jesus Christ, he acknowledged himself to be a sinner, and he claimed Jesus Christ as his Savior. And that painter in the third balcony, that day, came to the Lamb of God. Mary had a little lamb, his fleece as white as snow. Do you know that under the rules of the Old Testament, it was very important that any lamb that was for slaughter had to be a perfect lamb? The shepherd couldn't select a lamb who was crippled. He couldn't take one that he couldn't sell at market and send it instead to the temple. That was against the rules. That was against the law. There couldn't be a spot, and there couldn't be a blotch, and there couldn't be a lameness, and there couldn't be a disfigurement. The law required that any lamb that was sacrificed at that Jewish temple had to be a perfect lamb. That wasn't a human rule. That was God's rule, symbolically indicating that any sacrifice that was to have anything to do, in reality or picture, with atonement for human sin, had to be a perfect sacrifice. And so we can understand why, when it came to the question of someone dying once for all for our redemption, God required that sacrifice also be perfect. When Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, was described by the Apostle Peter, he is described as without blemish or spot, perfect, as white as snow. And yet the Bible also describes our sin. It says that our sin is like scarlet, red like crimson. And that Jesus Christ, the perfect Lamb of God, born in a cave in Bethlehem, had his perfection, his whiteness, his righteousness, stained and tainted with our sin, red like crimson. His white fleece of perfection was brutally stained for our redemption. Oh, what an event it was, that first Christmas. You know, Time magazine has recently indicated that its selection of the man of the year is Anwar Sadat, because as the president of Egypt, he made footprints on Israeli soil. And there are those who say that at the conclusion of this 20th century, historians will look back over 100 years and say that the most significant of all events was when American astronauts made footprints on the moon. But you know, those points may be argued, but there can be no adequate argument that the event of all of eternity was when divine footprints of the Son of God Himself were pressed into the soil of this earth. The Christmas message is the message of God's blood being mingled with earth's soil. Mary had a little lamb, his fleece as white as snow. And everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go. Each Christmas I take some time, perhaps too much time, to ponder the Christmas story. And there's something that I reflect on annually at this time of year, and that is I try to delve into what the mind of Mary must have experienced in those 9 months before the first Christmas. What must she have thought? If she was at the normal marrying age in her society, she was probably 14, 15, perhaps at the oldest 16 years old. And here she is faced with an angel from God who tells her that she is uniquely blessed among all women of all time, and that a miracle will take place when God draws a veil around her and creates supernaturally within her body the incarnation of the Son of God Himself. I wonder how she took it all in. I wonder how she understood it. I wonder if she understood it, at least at the outset. But then, the next day came. Maybe she thought, oh, that was a dream. That didn't really happen. And the next day, and the next day, and maybe for that week, and maybe for several weeks, it may have seemed as if it were not true. That there were no embryo, that there were no developing fetus within her body. But then, as the weeks became months, and she progressed toward full term, there was no longer any cause for wonder. For that living Christ child within her body became increasingly evident, until her diet was affected, until the way she walked became distinctive, until every detail of her life was changed by that which was growing and developing and maturing in her. Not only for her, but once what had been a secret could no longer be kept, because anybody, even a stranger, walking down the street could look and see that that woman was carrying within her a child. The secret was a secret no more. The word was out. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, went with her everywhere. All of life was changed, as Mary had within her body the Lamb of God. Do you know that one of the expressions describing salvation is that Jesus Christ is in us? Do you remember the day when you accepted Jesus Christ as Savior? Perhaps you recall it well. Maybe for you this is an anniversary, because perhaps that was at Christmas time. But whenever, maybe the next day things didn't seem a great deal different. And maybe for the first few weeks life seemed unchanged. And maybe you kept it as a secret, didn't even tell those closest to you in your family. But then you learned that as Jesus Christ in you began to develop and mature and be seen, that the secret was out. You were different. Your diet was different. The way you walked was different. The way you lived was different. The way you thought was different. All of life was changed because Jesus Christ was inside. That change life in every detail. Christ in us. Although, perhaps this Christmas season, you've wandered in or chosen to come in to a Christmas Eve service only as part of the routine of the annual Advent celebration. And you are here tonight celebrating Christmas as you've heard it on the radio and seen the nativity scene in the store windows as you've opened the packages at home or planned to in the morning. And when you think about it, when you're honest about it, you realize that Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, is not in you. I don't know what gifts you've gotten this Christmas season or all Christmases combined, but I can tell you the good news. The good news is that the greatest gift of all is the gift of Jesus Christ, and he's being offered to you this Christmas. All you need to do is silently pray as you sit there with your words being heard only by yourself and God, and tell him that you are among those sinners for whom Christ came, that you, like the rest of us, must be counted amongst those sinners for whom Christ died, and that you accept him. You accept him as the one who paid the penalty for your sin and purchased for you eternal life. You accept him inside to develop and mature, to go with you wherever you go, so that all of life may be changed. I invite you this Christmas to receive the greatest of gifts, the gift of Jesus Christ. Mary had a little lamb, his fleece as white as snow. And everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.